Do this morning. So I'm going to continue this message on the power from above. We started this message with, if you remember, we started with Pilate. And you remember how Pilate said to Jesus at the judgment, I read it to you. Pilate said unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me?" And you can imagine the scene for a moment. You've got Pilate there, and there's Jesus Christ before him. Of course, Pilate is a politician, amen? So you know where I'm going with this. And he says to Jesus, he says, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" And like most politicians, they promise you the world and they deliver nothing, amen? Because what did Jesus Christ say to Pilate? He said, "Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above." I want to talk about the power from above this morning and have a look at that. And obviously it seems to be timely at the moment. I don't really care what government comes into power today, but can I say this nation deserves them? Oh, I'm serious. Amen. You know, this nation deserves them because we as a nation have moved further and further and further away from God. No one wants to come and find the teaching of the Word of God anymore. Amen. And somehow the politicians think that they can just do as they wish. And I can make you all the promises in the world. And here's Pilate saying to Jesus Christ, "Do you know I have power to release you?" And there's the Son of God looked at him and said, "You have no power unless it's given to you from where? Above." And obviously that's the truth that we need to sometimes dwell on, soak in, understand that truth, because that is the truth. And that is the truth of the Word of God. And I was thinking this morning, you know, everything that's happened here, and can I say this to you respectfully, you know, this morning that, you know that God had an appointment for each and every one of us today to be here? You say, "How do you know that, Simon?" Well, you're here. Amen. That's how I know it. And you know, you think about our church for a moment and just everything that happened here, and I was talking to Isabel this morning, and several years ago, maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I came up to Kingaroy and I was with another pastor at the time, and came up, and that time the other one here was looking around for a building. And we drove around Kingaroy and we came up to this place. And anyway, I get to this place and I'm running around this place, I'm going around and around, and I'm excited. I could just see the potential with this old Salvation Army Hall. So not knowing anything, okay, don't understand, there's not having any inclination of anything at all. I'm running around the place and I've got excited. And I'll always remember this. We're standing just outside there and those two grumpos, and they were grumpy, because they turned around to me and said, "Well, Simon, why don't you buy it?" Now, just think about that. No, I didn't buy it, but God said, "Yeah, you wait. I hear you." He heard them. And where do we sit today? Amen. Could you imagine that? Could you really imagine that I'm saying that to them? And I can always remember it. "Well, why don't you buy it, Simon?" That just makes me laugh. What am I trying to say? Is that what, as we come into what I want to say this morning, do you realise that whatever we do, it is from power from above? And that's what I want us to focus on this morning, that your life, my life, it's not a coincidence. God is very much at hand, amen. His ear is not heavy where he can't hear us. He, as Paul said, he's not far from us, amen. And we have a wonderful God and Saviour, and I want to bring us into this thought this morning about the power from above. So we'll start over in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1, and we'll pick up some of what I'm going to say here is what we did last week and the week before, but just to try to clarify the truth of the Word of God, sometimes it's good to go over it. So if you get to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, we're going to go down to verse 4. Go down to verse 4. And in verse 4, the Apostle Paul is speaking, and understand that Paul is revealing something to us that had been hid. And that had been hid before the foundation of the world. And I want you to notice what he says here. He says, according as he have chosen us in him. Now, and I'll clarify this in a moment. This is only after you and I have called upon Christ the Saviour, okay? This is not election. In other words, God just doesn't come down and choose us. We have a free will to receive and accept him, amen? But I want you to show you a thought here. The truth here is that God himself says, have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us. Keep your finger there. Just go to chapter 3 for a moment and go down to verse 8 and 9. Understand here that the Apostle Paul, he's the one who's revealing this truth. This is a truth that had been hid in God. He says this, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In verse 9, to make all men see. Now, can I just say something to everyone in this room? That means you and me, all men, to see. What is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world have been what? Hid. So it had been hid before the world was made. It had been hid there. And then he says, in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. And then if you go back to Ephesians 1 for me with a moment and just go to verse 5, he then says this, he says, after we've found out we've been chosen in him, verse 5 is the key, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. I'll say this to you, it is a predestinated journey that begins when we said in our own heart, I want to get aboard. What do you mean? When the gospel came, or when you said, Lord, I need you as my saviour, however you receive God in your heart, but when you said in your heart, I want to get aboard that thing. I want to know that I'm going to heaven, amen? And when you said that on your heart, you got on board. And when you get on board, then what happens? You are predestinated to be. It's a journey. Like it's the way to picture it is, it's like going to the train station and getting a ticket and say the train's going to go from Brisbane to Sydney. Well, the idea is that you go to the conductor or the man and you get the ticket, don't you? Normally, we have to pay for the ticket. Now, that would be our own power, wouldn't it? But in this case, Jesus Christ has already paid for the ticket. Amen. He's paid for it. And he did that for us, so we know that. And he paid us by his precious blood, he paid us. And then because now I have received salvation as a free gift, I now can enter and get upon that train. Just go over to Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment, just to clarify what I'm saying. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And notice this is important for us to understand. He says this, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What is it, everyone? It's the gift of God. So I'm not paying for the gift. Do you understand? It's not my power or yours and I power to get to heaven. Would you agree? I cannot get there by my good works. That is just not how God says it. You know, when you go around the world, I was not that zealous to get to heaven
But you go around the world, you have a look at the religions and the things that they do. They crawl on the ground. I think Isabel was talking about the Catholic Church in one of those countries. The zealousness then and the things they do and their power that somehow they might be accepted with an unknown God to their eyes. Amen? But you and I, it was just a matter of receiving a gift. But that gift wasn't given to you and I by our works. So let's read on. So, for by grace are you saved through faith, that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So, if I get on board, then he says, I'm predestinated, and if you want to put it this way, unto what? Good works. Before I was a Christian, I couldn't do good works. Well, my works just didn't, they just my own selfishness. Just so I could look good in someone else's eyes, amen? Oh, isn't he a wonderful boy? Mum used to say that. I used to think, you don't know me, do you, Mum? But the thing is that good works which have us, which God have, now notice what he says, have before ordained that we should walk in them. When did God, so think about it for a moment, when did God ordain that we should walk in these good works? Before the foundation of the world. So what happens? I receive Christ as my Saviour. We do that. And then God says, I'm going to now predestinate you in my Son. I'm going to get on board. The same as the train. So if I get on the wrong train and it's going from Brisbane to Mackay, I'm predestinated to the wrong spot. Would you agree? But if I get on the right train, I'm predestinated to the right spot. Now, let me just put it this way to you. Do you realise that today that people are not interested in what the Bible teaches? So sometimes you can make your own journey, but that's a predestination by your own will, not by the will of God. Does that make sense? So come over to 2 Timothy 1:9 again. Now this has to do with the power from above, okay? So this is where I'm heading with all this. So go over to 2 Timothy and we're going to go down to chapter 1. We'll go down to verse 9 to clarify this thought again. Now, verse 9, what does the Bible say? 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Okay, let's all say it out loud. Who have saved us? Okay, so say it out loud again.
Who have saved us?
You've just nailed your own coffin, everyone. You have, because isn't that what he's saying? We are saved by his grace. It is a free gift. So, who have saved us? Who saved me? Was it me or Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen, Jesus Christ. So it's not our works. Not possible. Okay, he says this. And, so now we're saved. Here's the truth. And called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Okay, so not according to my power, not according to what I can do, like he said in Ephesians, that we're predestinated unto good works in Christ Jesus. They're not my works. They're the works that happen because now I've got on board. I'm in Christ. I'm predestinated on a particular journey. And by the way, do you understand that only God knows your journey? I'm not standing here as a pastor saying to you, you must do this and that. I know. No, not at all. And understand that. Because notice what it says. So a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. So here's God's purpose now. We've got a purpose. Now I'm understanding, okay, God has a purpose and grace. Thank God it uses grace there. It's not to do with me, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. Now, isn't that neat? So it's a wonderful thought if you think, okay, I'm going to get on board. I got saved, but now I need to understand that There is something that God ordained for each and every one of us, and he ordained that before the foundation of the world. And then he says in Ephesians that you who he have chosen. Chosen. You know what the word chosen means? It basically means that you and I have a call. Go over to 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Corinthians 1:9. And this is a mystery. This is a thing that Paul is revealing in the Word of God to us. So in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians. I'll just check if it's not 1st. It might be 2nd. Just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll just check it is. If it's not, it's in 2nd, but I'm pretty sure it's in 1 verse 9. So I go back, it's just after Romans. Now notice what he says here. Notice what God does here. He says, now Paul's speaking to a church here that have problems. He said, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our what? Our Lord. Do you understand this morning that you and I are saved? There's a call upon each and every one of us. And you know what that call is? To have fellowship with who? His dear Son, Jesus Christ. That's the call. That was ordained before the foundation of the world. Do you understand? That's what God ordained. He said, right, to you Gentiles, if you get in and you get saved, there's a calling upon each and every one of us. Very quiet. You know, right about now I should hear, amen. We have a calling. Amen. But I want you to think about it. But where's the calling from? Down here? No, the above. Amen. It's a calling. It's a high calling. And now, that's a privilege. Think about that. It's not just me who's been called, okay? Thank God for that. But I'm going to use an illustration here about a calling. You know, the calling of God is when we kind of apprehend it. When I begin to understand that I have a calling as a Christian, and when I start to get that thought in. But I understand that when you look at this calling, we get on board, but it's a predestinated journey, but you understand that there's rules on the journey. Now, Christian, who likes rules? you know, the Christians are the worst for liking rules, okay? But it's because he's chosen us in him, there are rules. But don't go out of me yet, okay? But there are some rules. God doesn't choose us and then says, right, now I just want you to do this and that. Now, I have a purpose. I have something in mind for you, and there's a pathway that I have set before you, and you're predestinated, and that predestination that God ordained before he even made this place, it is unto good works, but those works are in Christ Jesus. Then, so I remember this, and I use myself as an illustration, and use yourself as the same illustration. But when I got saved, I asked God, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to learn the word of God. Well, that made a lot of sense to me. Well, what's the point of being a Christian and not knowing his word? Not that I apprehended this, not that I understood this. And then for a series of events, I ended up out at Boona, where I could learn the word of God from a missionary that came out from the States. And our whole purpose for us then and a few others that went with me was that we could learn the Bible. That's why we went there. And while I was there, then I found out that God hadn't just called me to learn his word. He then said to me, and not maybe in the most nicest of ways, because this is against my will a little bit, he says, now I want you to walk the Christian life.
And that's what I'm talking about this morning. I want you to walk the Christian life. Okay. All right, I get it. All right, you want me to walk the Christian life. Then later on, he then said, now I'm going to call you to preach the word of God. Do you ever think in my mind that any of that would have ever come into my mind? Do you think I would have ever apprehended that thought? That one day, and if you knew me, I would be out at a place called Boona learning the Bible. And now God is teaching me to walk the Christian life. Then he calls us and then he says, now I want you to preach the word of God. None of that would have been in my wildest dreams. True? Do you know why I would have never known that? Because that was ordained before the foundation of the world. that pathway, that journey, was actually hidden God. There's no way I could have known it. Would you agree? And same with us. Think about it. There's no way you could think that. There's no way you could... Okay, let's just put it this way. If I was to talk to you a year ago, would any of us, could I say, do you reckon you'd be in church today? Maybe. To some. Some are doing this. Can you see my point? I'm just using this as an illustration. Come over to Philippians, the book of the Philippians with me, and I'm going to talk about Paul. So let's take it back to the Bible for a moment. So the book of Philippians go 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians. We're going to go to chapter 3 in the book of Philippians this morning. I'm just going to pick it up and I'm just going to give you the one. Go to verse 13 when you find Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. When you get there, just have a look at this verse, what Paul says. And then I'll read you the verse before it. But he says this. So you remember the Apostle Paul? He was the man that was on the road to Damascus, wasn't he? You remember he was the one who had letters in his hand and from the Pharisees, and he would have put all of us in prison if he would have found anyone of that way. You know, his purpose, his journey was that Damascus road, and if he found anyone believing in Jesus Christ, he had authority to put them in jail. Do you remember that? And then what happened? There was a great light from above. He gets saved. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee. He knew the law of the Old Testament. By the way, he was perfect in it. In other words, he was educated. And now he is on this road and he's going to find anyone of that way, and he has authority, at least he thinks so, to put his voice against them. And what did he do to the church of God in those days? He persecuted it. Later on, it's Paul who's writing, who's now revealing to us something that was hidden God before the foundation of the world. Okay? Look what he says. Look in verse 13. Look what he says. He says this. Where do we say 3 verse 13? Brethren, I count not myself to what? Apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Let's go back to verse 12. Not as though I have already attained. He's talking about now. Either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend. Now this is what he's saying. That I might understand. That I might apprehend this. I might to know this better. That for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying? I'm following Jesus Christ because I'm apprehended by him. You know what the word apprehended by him means? It's a calling. And because of that calling, he's now following Christ. Now, on the road to Damascus, do you remember? Go to the book of Acts. Go right over to Acts. Go to chapter 9. You might as well read this. This is the account. Acts 9. Acts chapter 9. And we'll pick it up in verse... Go to verse 15 in Acts 9. This is God speaking to Ananias here, because Paul is now blinded at this point of time. He says in verse 15, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." What did God say to Ananias about Paul? He was a what? Chosen vessel. To do what? To take the gospel to the Gentiles. Just before I come there, do you understand that a Jew, a Pharisee, an expert in the law, hates anyone found in this new way, has any fibre in his being where he would even comprehend that God was going to use him to take the gospel to the Gentile? Do you see how impossible that is? Do you see how there is no way that, humanly speaking, he could have apprehended that before he met Christ on the road to Damascus? Now, go back to his conversion. I want to use that word. Go back to 1, and let's pick it up in verse 3. So think about his journey in Acts, same chapter, darling. Go back to verse 3. Think about his journey. So here's the idea. He's on his journey. This is Saul's journey. And as he journeyed, so go back to verse 3 of chapter 9. So as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from where, everyone? Heaven. Amen. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord," notice the next few words he said, "what will thou have me to do?" I'm going to make a statement here. Do you know, we might not apprehend what God has for us. I had no apprehension standing out there that day what God wanted. Would you agree? I had not a clue. But I'm going to say something to each and every one of us. But what did Paul say to God? "I am what? Willing." Do you know what God does? You know what God does? He blesses our willingness. Does that make sense? When I'm willing, he blesses me. Okay? All right, so let me put it this way. I'm willing to follow Jesus Christ. I don't know how, but I'm willing to. He knows our heart. He knows that you and I are willing. So if we're willing, watch how it works. So I'm willing, I make a step forward. And guess what happens? A little bit of that apprehension starts to take place. I'm starting to get this. I'm a little bit more willing. Take the next step, Simon. I'm apprehended of Jesus Christ, and I'm starting to follow him. I don't have it all planned out before me, would you agree? I didn't have it all planned out and boom, put it that way. But it started somewhere, and that's a journey that you and I are on. Now, can I say this to everyone? When you got saved and you and I got saved, God put you on a journey. Would you agree? Now, it doesn't mean that we apprehend or understand fully what that journey is. But can I say this to you? This is a journey that we have, now listen to what I'm going to say, power from what? Above. If he has chosen me in Jesus Christ,
before the foundation of the world. That means you and I have power now to follow him on this earth. Where's that power from? Above. Interesting thought, isn't it?
I didn't know I could do that. That's interesting. Come over to John chapter 10 with me for a moment. Now, I'd like to put a sign on our front of our church. And this is the sign I'd like to put. I'd like to put a sign up there and it says this. We're following Jesus Christ. Who are you following? Amen. You know, because that's what Paul said. I'm apprehended of Jesus Christ, therefore I follow. He's following Christ. Have a look here in John 10 and verse 27. So we are saved. That's what we said this morning. In verse 27, he says, what's the next thing he says? My sheep hear my voice. Are we his sheep? Okay, yes. All right, so therefore, because I'm now his sheep, I can what? Hear his voice. Then he says this, and I know them and they follow who?
Me.
You know what apprehends you? When you know that Jesus Christ knows you. Amen. When you realize he knows you. Man, that's a whole different deal, isn't it? Yeah, he knew I was excited standing out there 4 years or 5 years ago. Amen. He knows me. He knows, God knows what he's called us for. He knows what he's doing. As Corrie Ten Boom said, God does not have problems in heaven. He has plans. The problems are down here. Would you agree? But notice what he says. So we are his sheep. Now think about it for a moment. We hear his voice. We follow him. And I give unto them eternal life. Who's that? Christ. By the way, do you know that you will never perish in his hands? We have eternal life. Would you agree? When you receive Christ as your Saviour, you are saved eternally. Who saved you? Christ did. So he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So you realise that you and I are eternally secure. But I want you to direct you to the next verse. 28. Verse 29, sorry. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man, now look at the word, no man, is able to pluck them out of my Father's what?
Hand.
Do you know when he said no man, he's not talking about man losing our salvation. You know what he's actually saying? There is no man on this earth that has any power against us unless it's willed by God in heaven. Isn't that what Jesus said to Pilate? You have no power unless it's given to you from heaven. There is not one human being on this earth that can pluck me out of my Father's hands. Amen. And that's why he says in Ephesians, we have power to us what? Would. We have, you and I, have power from above. Man, that is something to behold. There is nothing on this earth that can touch that, amen? There is no man, there's no woman, there's no evil people. Boy, since I've been in King of Roy, I have met some wicked people. Oh, I'm serious. They have tried to stop what God was doing here and they failed. Amen. In fact, God turned it around and shoved them out of here. Praise God to that. Amen. I'm serious this morning. We have our Heavenly Father in heaven and he gives us power that no man can touch. Wow, that is just a blessing. And when we start to get that in our minds, our hearts, our souls. We start to meditate upon this truth. All of a sudden, God then starts to give us a little bit of apprehension. Anybody actually say, I can follow you? We can follow him. Now, So Jesus said, thou couldest have no power. Well, you and I do have power. You know, we might not apprehend the calling. In other words, I might not understand the calling. You know, some people say to me, or they might even say to you, and we believe the King James Bible, we come to church, we do the things we do, right, as Christians. Do you know what they normally say to us? Oh, you're a legalist. A legalist. A legalist is someone doing it by some legal law, would you agree? They say you're a legalist. You know what they say to me? They say, oh, Brother Simon, you don't do that. You know what I say to them? No, I'm not going to do that. Then you know what they say to me? You're a legalist. You're saying to me, see what they say to you, they say, oh, well, you're not doing that because you're following some man's law. You realise why I won't do some things? Because I'm apprehended of God. I understand the calling. Maybe those who come up and say, we're a little bit legalist. Maybe you should turn around to them and say, maybe you haven't apprehended it or not. Maybe God just hasn't called you. Does that make sense? The only reason I don't do something is because of my God in heaven called Jesus Christ. Why? Because he put me in him before the foundation of the world, and now, Simon, I have a journey for you. It's predestinated, and that predestination is unto good works in Christ Jesus. Amen. Do you know why Israel could not go into the promised land? They were in Egypt, and then God delivered them, and then they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and there was only two that went in the promised land, that was Caleb and Joshua. Do you know why they couldn't go? Because they had spent so much time in the stinking world, and they spent so much time in the wilderness that they could never find the door in. Come over with me to Luke chapter 13. You say, Simon, you're sounding a little bit passionate. Yeah, I am. Because this is good stuff. This is. Have a look in Luke 13. Have a look in Luke 13 and go to, have a look at this. Have a look at what the Bible says. By the way, don't worry, I've wandered in the wilderness, okay? I'm not excluding myself from that, okay? I have wandered in the world a bit, okay? So I'm not excluding myself from any of this. Okay, let's go to Luke 13. Let me just find the verse for you. Go down to verse 24 and we'll close with this. Jesus speaking to some people here. So Luke 13 down to verse 24. Now notice what he says to this group of people. And these were obviously the Jews. He said, now, he says to them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, as I say, unto you will seek to enter in and shall what? Not be able. Do you know why they weren't able? Because they were trying to enter the strait gate by their own power. Okay? They were seeking, would you agree? But they couldn't enter in because they were doing it by their own power. Then he says, I say unto you, and shall not be able. So they're not able to get in. Then he says, verse 25, once the master of the house has risen up and have shut to the door, and he began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Hey, you know, isn't it bad when the door's shut? I can just see them knocking at the door. Well, you know why they're knocking at the door? Because they weren't able to go. Where in? You know, I wasn't seeking heaven. Salvation is a what? Free gift, isn't it? It's given to us by the grace of God. So you think about it, they're knocking here, these people. And he shall answer and say unto them, unto you, I know you not. Now notice the next words. Whence ye are, okay? Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Okay, so what it is, this is the passage, this is what this is about. Was Jesus Christ here in the flesh?
And did he not minister to Israel for 3.5 years?
Yes.
Did he not eat with them? And they weren't able to what? These people aren't able to enter in. They were striving. They were doing it by their own power, their own works.
You know what he says, but notice what he says to them. Notice what the Lord says. Obviously, he knew them. Okay? He was amongst them. But this is what he says to them. I know you not whence ye are. You know what he's saying? I do not know where you are. He's not saying I don't know you. He's saying I don't know where you are. What do you mean? He was in their streets. He was teaching them, wasn't he? He would teach the word of God wherever he went. He was teaching the Bible. Where should have they been?
On this side of the door, would you agree? But where were they? On that side of the door. Amen? And you know what Jesus Christ says? Where are you? You are not in a place that I even know you. You know, Christian, be careful you don't get far from God.
Amen. Amen. I know we have salvation eternally. I understand that. But I have seen a lot of Christians wreck their life because they got away from God. And you know what God says? Where are you? And you know what he's actually saying to them? You're not at a place you should be. You are not where I chose you, can I say it like this, to be. You are not in the place that I chose for you before the foundation of the world. You understand you're still under Christ, understand that. But what he's actually saying is that you didn't listen to the preacher, you didn't read your Bible, you didn't get to know what the Word of God said, and then God says, I don't know where you are. Because you're not where you should be. That's what the Lord is saying.
That's what he's saying. That's not very comfortable, is it? That's what God is saying. He's saying, you're not where, I don't know where you are. You didn't listen to me then. By the way, are they listening to him now? No. Are they listening to God now? No. Do you know how I know they're not listening? Because they're not seeking out what the Word of God says. They don't want to find out what this book teaches. Would you agree? So you have a lot of Christians, yes, they're saved, but they never understood the calling of God, and that was the call that he talks about in the New Testament. Now, what are you saying, Brother Simon, is this? Remember I said to you, Christians don't like rules?
Okay.
Go on. Amen. I don't like rules, but there is a rule for those who've been saved. There is a rule for his children. And this is the rule. We are all called unto the fellowship of his dear son, Jesus Christ. And we are not meant to be anywhere else than where we can have that fellowship. What? With him. I'll give you one rule. And here's a point. Did he not say, come out from among them? Rule. This is a rule. This is God in heaven. And what did he say? Be separate. You know what the next couple of words are? And I shall be a father unto you. That's a rule. That is a rule. You say, well, that sounds legalistic, Simon. I don't know if it's legalistic as much as I'd rather have him as my Heavenly Father, amen. And I would rather have the power that's given to us from where? Heaven. I don't think it's a bad rule. I think it's a rule that protects us. I think it's a rule that helps us to understand that our Heavenly Father wants to give us everything that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And I think the illustration is, he said to those people there, those Jews, I know not where you are. Could you imagine where those Jews went in outer darkness forever and ever and ever? And he never knew where they were because God had turned his back upon them. But there's no way at the great white throne judgment they could say, but God, we didn't know. I can't see God looking at them and saying, you didn't know? And there was the Son of God in your streets, teaching. Not only that, can you imagine what Israel saw with what he did? The raising of Lazarus, the healing of people. There is no way, and I saw a picture the other day, it had this great big library, and I don't know how many stories, it might be 5 stories high, and it does say in John that the books of this world could not contain what he did in 3.5 years. You know what God is saying to him? I don't even know where you are. You didn't listen to me then, and you had more light than you and I have, would you agree? You didn't listen then. And you know what he's saying to the believer now? Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. I have a high calling for us. I'm not trying to put everyone down this morning. I'm trying to help us to realize we have something wonderful. We have a lot more to live for than this world does. And not only that we can live for him, God also says, I'm going to enable you that you can live for me. And that's a blessing. Let's just close. Father, thank you this morning. Maybe a little hard to maybe teach, Lord, this truth. But, Lord, I ask you would just, Lord, only you can do it. You can apprehend our minds, our hearts, our thoughts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's finish with our last song. I think we've got, what is the last one? Oh, When We See Christ. Amen. Thing off.